Our series of sermons, messages for this Lenten season is going to concentrate on kings. Kings from the spectrum of Israel and Judah all the way through the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And it's going to focus on the shortcomings of each king, except for the King of Kings. Tonight, I want you to think about Psalm 51. And I'm going to reread just a couple verses of Psalm 51. From verse 10, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." So far, God's word for our consideration this evening. So I want you to consider this word. And this word kind of really defines the king that I'm going to talk about tonight and reflect upon our own lives. And the word is guilt. Now, as you think about that word, guilt, I want you to think about your own life. And I want you to think about getting your hand caught in the cookie jar. Do you feel guilty? Do you feel that word guilt? When Karen makes chocolate chip cookies, I know I'm not supposed to have that because certain things happen in my body that were not very nice when I have that chocolate, gluten, and all of that rotten stuff. So when I pull a chocolate chip cookie out, I kind of feel kind of real guilty. Have you ever done something horrible and lied about it? Didn't you feel a little guilty? Well, tonight we're going to focus on King David. King David wrote Psalm 51. And as he wrote Psalm 51, what was he writing about? Was the reaction of Nathan coming to him. Because of what David did. David was this powerful king. He could have anything in his kingdom. And there on the housetop, as he was gazing down on the next building, who does he see? But Bathsheba. And you know the story of David and Bathsheba, how David longed to have Bathsheba as his own. And he would go to great lengths to have the woman that he was lusting after. Her husband Uriah was out at the front. And David wanted him back because Bathsheba got pregnant. And he wanted to have Uriah the Hittite lay with his wife. And so that she would have that sense of, okay, she did it with her husband and not with David. David was still feeling a little guilty, but he had to cover up that sin. David was like us. We commit sin, we don't want anybody to know about it. We don't even want God to know about it. But God's the one who knows about it. And God knew about the sin that David committed in wanting Uriah the Hittite dead. That he went to great lengths so that he could have Bathsheba as his own. And so God appointed Nathan, appointed the prophet Nathan to go to David. And this is also in scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 14, when Nathan comes to David. And he tells him this story about two men. One, a rich man, who has many flocks of sheep. And one, a lowly man, who has one little ewe lamb. a precious ewe lamb. And a guest was coming to the rich man. And the rich man had so many flocks, he just didn't want to give up one sheep for a dinner. So what he did was he conspired, and he got the ewe lamb from the less wealthy man and prepared the dinner. And David said that man should rot. And Nathan looked at him and said, "You are the man." And so from that point on, David writes Psalm 51 about asking God for forgiveness. Now that has a lot for us to contemplate for our own lives. Because God comes to us in his word and tells us we're sinners. In Romans chapter 3, God says through the Apostle Paul, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." In chapter 6, verse 23, the Apostle Paul writes, "The wages of sin is death." So God is telling us about the sin that we have committed, the blind sin, the sin that we knew about, pushing somebody when we were younger, doing some horrible deeds. I remember at the school ground, this was terrible. I did a terrible deed. A young man who was a neighbor of mine up the street, we got into an argument. What did I do? I punched him. And then I ran. And I felt guilty for years because of that. That was a sin that I committed. And he forgave me. And I was feeling terrible about it up to that point. In fact, he didn't really even remember it. That's what's the terrible part. But here we have committed sins. And God forgives us. Because we seek his forgiving love. Just like David did. David committed that sin. And Nathan went to him and told him about that sin. And said, yet, toward the end of that 14 verses, Nathan said, "You will not die, but the child that is born to you will die." So there was something that was going to happen because of David's sin. But David knew that he sinned against the Lord. So he writes this psalm of confession, the psalm of seeking the Lord's absolution. And we also confess to him the sins that we have committed so that we will be cleansed by a merciful God, that we will be lifted up, that we will be forgiven, and that we will be empowered to continue to live a new life, that we are turned around and pointed in a different direction. From this point on, from Ash Wednesday on, we are on a journey. We are on a journey seeing our Lord going to the cross for us to suffer, to die, and to yet rise again, to give us everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. So those sins that we have committed in thought, word, and deed, whether it's to each other or whether it's to God himself, he sends Jesus to satisfy and to die for us and to rise again to give us everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. You see, King David shows to us that he's no different than us, and we're no different than he is, because we have sinned against the Lord and we have fallen short of his glory. But now God, through Jesus Christ, forgives us our sins, lifts us up, and empowers us to be those disciples, those witnesses in the world, so that we may share the Lord Jesus with those around us. In Christ's holy name.